This English version of the podcast was created using AI-based voice synthesis from the original German recording.
Business Shift.
Business Shift.
The podcast for decision makers and executives who want to deal with the topic of sustainability in a sustainable way. Welcome to Business Shift, the podcast that changes perspectives and explores the question of how to make more out of business, namely sustainable and future-proof. I'm Tobias Kirchhoff from TÜV Rheinland, your host, and today it's about how movers and shakers can be economically successful and how they can make the world a little bit better every day. We want companies not to adapt to the future, but to actively shape this future in such a way that we all benefit from it. And today we have a topic that is really exciting once you have penetrated it, namely circularity in good German circular economy. Sounds technical at first, but in my view, it is the key to real sustainable business. But before you think, oh no, now comes the next environmental podcast about waste separation. Don't worry, we're not talking about the yellow bag. Circularity is not only good for your conscience, but above all, good for business. And as always, I have an expert at the start who can explain it much better. Our Dr. Bahatschad Krauser from TÜV Rheinland. Bahar, it's nice to have you back.
Thank you very much, Tobias. I'm also happy to be part of it again.
So we're not talking about my cycle, not yours, but circularity. What does the circular economy mean?
Circular economy basically means moving from a linear economy to a circular economy.
Okay, so far understood. From straight to round. But what does a linear economy, or also called a growth economy, mean in the first place? What is that?
Yes, it's basically everything that you produce and which in the end, of course, also produces a lot of waste and ultimately raw materials that could be recycled are simply no longer used. And new natural resources are always used for new products, new processes, which is actually the key to a linear economy. And our natural resources are finite, so the key is circularity, namely to bring waste recyclables back into the cycle.
So if you think in terms of traffic, get out of the one-way street into the roundabout. Exactly. How does this circular economy work very roughly?
Yes, there is no such thing as a circular economy in general, if you ask me. So circularity, it has many, many facets. It always depends a bit on where you look from. So one thing, of course, is to return recyclable raw materials to processes. However, the circular economy is also about developing products that can be easily disassembled, for example, where individual parts can be recycled. However, circularity also means being able to repair products, which is not always the case, or even to think about new business models. In other words, to rent out, lease, take back and refurbish products and thus bring them back into circulation.
That's a great idea at first. No one will say no to it. But from the idea to the realization, it's still a piece.
Yes, it's a play. It's also a process. So, of course, it is not possible to transfer ongoing processes directly to the circular economy. Of course, and there are various reasons for this. On the one hand, you have products that you want to sell. On the other hand, you work with materials that may not always be very, very easy to replace. On the other hand, supply chains have already grown so historically that even suppliers who might be able to use more recyclable materials are not directly there. So the demand for recycled materials, for example, is relatively high and these needs cannot be met directly everywhere in the same way. So in my opinion, it's really a step-by-step process that you have to give a little time.
Let's make it a little more concrete. Take the smartphone, for example. How could I imagine that? Because that's exactly the kind of issue where you have to get a new one every 2 years because the old one is out of date. As a rule, you can't rebuild it. But what would something like a circular economy look like, especially with a device like the smartphone?
You actually say it right. We are used to getting a brand new mobile phone every 2 years. Although the other smartphone can actually still do everything. It may have a few scratches at most. What do we do with it? Off to the drawer, get a new smartphone, and that's it. I don't know. How many smartphones do you have in your drawer?
Good question. I think 6 or 7 already.
Yes, yes.
And you can't use the old ones anymore either, because there's no software for them anymore.
Yes, exactly. On top of that, the nice thing, however, is that the big smartphone manufacturers are also slowly moving in one direction. For example, to take back old devices. Then you get a small remuneration. You can order a new one. You can send the old smartphone back so that it may be disassembled again somehow. But there are also smartphones that can be easily disassembled from the outset. For example, Fairphone is a provider where you can return the phone. It is disassembled. Things like rare earths, which are simply really important resources of our earth and are simply finite, can be used again. Or if something doesn't work, you don't have to throw the smartphone away. You can just do it. Repair. This repairability also increases the product life of a smartphone. Something that we may have to think about in our daily lives from time to time or even more often. Whether this might not be an alternative for us than holding a new mobile phone in our hands every 2 years.
Yes, and what is true for mobile phones is basically true for all things that we hold in our hand, right?
Yes, of course, durability is, of course, a big aspect of sustainability. But of course, you also need durable materials to go with it. You may also need new business models that allow you to take back exactly these products. But that also means that you have to adapt logistical processes. You have to take the customer with you. You also have to say where, or have to give along sensitize, where can I actually hand in the products? Where can I return them? Everything has to come into a cycle, and that simply has very different facets. Of course, it's not always easy to implement this overnight.
You just mentioned it, longevity. In preparation for this episode, I found the core principles of the circular economy, and there is one of five or six core principles, just this topic, is longevity. Another is reduction of waste, then material efficiency is the third. What do I mean by that?
Yes, material efficiency means that materials are really stable, that the quality is good, that they ultimately bring things like durability with them. So if you use a low quality material now, you can assume that your product simply won't survive several years, but may break after a few months.
I think this brings us to the fourth core principle, reuse, reprocessing. So only if I have a standardized material and it is also of high quality, I can reuse it or probably reprocess it.
Exactly.
Such a recyclable smartphone is more or less the opposite of the throwaway mentality at some point. We've gotten used to it very, very nicely. Repairs are done less today. I'll just buy it new. But what do companies get out of reversing this trend?
Yes, first and foremost, it is really about using or consuming fewer resources, and at some point reaching the point where we may also be able to save costs by using recycled materials. So imagine if you had to buy fewer resources because you can reuse materials. This not only saves money, but also makes you less dependent on fluctuating commodity prices. Well, we can see that there is a very, very lot happening on the market. The throwaway mentality has led us to a linear economy for decades. So resources are extracted, products are manufactured, used, and then simply disposed of. And where we stand, we see with our own eyes. So littering is an example that we simply have to deal with and what we also see every day. And with a circular economy, everything stays in the system, either through reuse, through recycling, through repair. And the best thing is that customers really prefer companies these days that take responsibility. And this can also promote a more sustainable purchase decision, which in turn also leads to the fact that customers, and I include you and me among them, are also more willing to maybe bring things back.
So it's a double win, so to speak. Not only do I pocket the actual profit, but I also have an image gain with the customer. And now I imagine that the companies that hear this say, man, that sounds great in theory, but how should I implement it in practice? And above all, I already have enough to do with my core business, and to introduce such things now, it's very, very time consuming.
Yes, of course, it is time consuming and also requires a lot of planning. So as I said, you can't change everything overnight. And with circularity, you don't always have to turn all production lines upside down. So that's actually not what it means. You can start with individual products, take a look at the product range, see what are my main sales products, where can I change something, where do I want to change what, and which processes can I touch? In other words, to really start too small and to develop into it. For example, you can also start with product design, for example, if I want to launch new products on the market, so that I look at what the eco-design of my product is like right from the start. How long can it be used? How can materials be recycled? How can I perhaps also adapt logistical processes? How can customize a production line? In other words, to really design products in such a way that they are also recyclable. Or as I just said, when we talk about logistical processes, you simply analyze the supply chain and the end of life, the so-called end of life of products. Is there any waste that we can actively reduce, or perhaps actually recyclable materials that can flow back into the production process? And maybe you can also use materials that are simply more durable and recyclable. It's really about taking steps. And sometimes a small screw instead of glue is enough.
But let's be honest, is circularity then perhaps more for the big ones, who of course also have the market power to use the screw instead of the glue, since they also have the resources to handle such a huge project in the first place?
Yes, I mean, sure, the big players certainly have more leeway, maybe a little more budget to invest. But circularity is not just for the big players. So everyone can do something with it, no matter how big the company is. We have just mentioned Fairphone before. It's a smaller company and they really implement it consistently as circularity. You don't have to be a huge corporation to do that. I also know a lot of startups that think about circularity right from the start, so that the corporate mindset is also directly geared towards sustainability. And that helps on the one hand with the implementation of the whole topic, but also with involving the employees, which is of course also super important.
Do you have another example of this?
For a startup.
No, not a startup, but maybe even an established company where you say, man, that's actually a pretty good showcase model for how you switched from the old economy, from the linear economy to the circular economy, so to speak.
So a cool example is Patagonia. They not only repair their products, but also encourage their customers to use products longer, but also to send these products back in if they are broken or need to be repaired. Really more the sensitization to repair things again in order to be able to use them more long lasting and not just get a new part. And Patagonia also goes to a foundation, which means that it belongs to a foundation that benefits the environment. So everything that is distributed in corporate profits is invested directly in environmental projects and other sustainability projects. So really from the basic idea, a sustainability strategy that goes beyond the product line and really takes the entirety.
How can we even deal with the fact that our linear economy is geared towards profit maximization? So really that I use all resources, get the best out of it, and if it's cheaper, pull out the profit there as well. How can we even manage to get out of our ultimately worldwide economic system, i.e. profit maximization, in order to then come to a sustainable system?
So Tobias, if I had the answer, I would be really happy. I believe, and I said this at the beginning, that we are simply used to doing many things. In the same way, to exploit profit to the maximum and to think primarily, of course, economically. So now we can't tell everyone to stop thinking about money and just do it sustainably, because as soon as you produce, you naturally have an impact on the environment. I think the key is to develop yourself and actually become aware that maximum profit means that if you don't do business more sustainably, you won't be around in 10 years. So alternative could be, okay, I'm going to make money, money, money. But in 10 years, everyone has overtaken me and I'm just not on the market anymore. What I want to say is that sustainability, circularity, and profit are not a contradiction in terms. So you can become more efficient through more sustainable processes, save costs. On the other hand, we can still distribute attractive profits with sustainable products. So I think we need to rethink things. And of course, that's not something that can be done globally today. Of course, it's not always easy to implement this overnight.
That's clear. Yes, but it's not new that we know that, for example, the Earth's resources are running out. So 50 years ago, the Club of Rome published its first paper, The Limits to Growth, which warned against further exploitation of the planet's resources. Nothing has happened in this regard. There was now the 50-year report. So what gives you hope? That precisely this change also occurs in the mindset of decision makers?
Of course, you want this to happen out of your own intrinsic motivation. But let's be honest, Tobias, unfortunately, it's not always like that. We also do things because they are simple, but they may not be sustainable. We want to go on vacation and don't think about how much CO2 we emit. I believe that society is also a great lever. And the following generations, our children, their children, they will, of course, also feel the effects. And we can already feel it today. I think that will increase the pressure enormously. And today it is really the regulatory landscape that creates pressure here. Even if it's not always nice to have to do something with a raised index finger, regulation helps. And in fact, it is not only the companies that are really subject to regulation that are directly affected, but the entire supply chain. Because of course, the materials come on the supply chain, the information on CO2, human rights, etc. They all come from the supply chain, and that can certainly provide a boost.
If I look at the regulations now, I have to comply with my laws or the regulations. If I'm now a medium-sized entrepreneur, or I'm just a manager with influence in my company and say, man, the topic of circular economy, I find that very exciting. How can I get involved?
So if we now look specifically at circularity, then I would advise every manufacturing company to take a look at the product range. So I believe that processes and production facilities are already very efficient. Not always, but often, as far as production scrap is concerned, we are relatively good at it. I would actually look at new developments, new products. How can I equip the product with which materials so that it also meets the criteria of a circular economy? I would actually do that first. And I think it's also important that we now get out of production a bit and take our colleagues and employees with us and involve them. Yes, if you look at the ideas of the employees, especially from the areas of research, especially from the areas of innovation, I think we have a lot of treasures lying around that you can take with you.
Yes, I'll take that with me, and I think our listeners too. And if you, dear listeners, want to learn more about topics such as circularity and sustainable business, just stay tuned. Subscribe to the podcast, and we will bring you the most interesting tips and stories on the topic of sustainability in business, innovation, and transformation in a resource-efficient way directly into your ear canal. You can receive us wherever podcasts are available and wherever you are. In the home office, in the car, in the bathroom, ironing, walking in nature, with children or dogs, and all information can be found, as always, under our show notes. And don't forget, change in business starts with us, with all of us. So until next time, your
business shift.
Business shift.
The podcast for decision makers and executives who want to deal with the topic of sustainability in a sustainable way. Stay curious.
Bye-bye.